That's right.
Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast.
Usual Friday.
Hey and welcome to Talk About It Friday. This Friday is going to be our very, very last show until the 17th of May. Reason for this because that we want to expand our podcast and we want to reach out to a wider audience, and we also want some interesting guests, even though that we've had some interesting guests, you know, throughout the 2 months. But what we want is to expand it by reaching out to coaches and speakers and entrepreneurs as well, because we feel that, you know, because this is a major topic where there's a lot of entrepreneurs and coaches and speakers, especially a lot of beginners as well. So what we want to do is inspire others. So yeah, that is what we want to do, and we hope on May 17th that we're going to have some coaches and speakers on our show. So this is going to be absolutely brilliant, and we just want to say a massive, massive thank you to all of our listeners, all of our guests that have come onto our show and supported us. You guys absolutely rock, and thank you ever so much for, you know, inspiring others and, you know, sharing your story, because it's the most important to remember is to inspire other people out in this world, because everybody needs a little inspiration now and again. So thank you ever so much, and thank you from everyone here at Talk About It Friday. I'm hoping actually to get my co-host Nicole Glozier on our show for May, so that's going to be absolutely interesting. I've yet got to twist a little finger, so wish me luck, guys. So Celine, thank you ever so much for giving us this opportunity to interview you. So tell us a little bit about you.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate it. So to introduce me a little bit, I used to be a scientist, a physicist. Ooh. And then I completely quit my career in science because I've always wanted to be a creative, to have a creative career. I'm a writer, and for the past now 10 years, I've tried to develop my career as a writer, as an author. First in French, because that's my native language. I'm from Belgium. And then I moved to London 7 years ago. Learning the language, trying to, you know, get used to writing in English. And now I've written my first book in English that's published the beginning of the month. So, I'm an author. And basically what I do is that I help artists, any kind of artist, can be other writers, but can also be performers, illustrators, any kind of artist, to really find their motivation, their inspiration, and just get the best out of their career, whether they have a job or they're trying to do it full time.
Wow, that's absolutely impressive. I mean, from what you said to the, you know, first of all, you was like saying that you had a career as a scientist. Wow.
You know, I know, it's kind of always, everyone is always like, oh, what?
Yeah, you know, from a guaranteed career, I would assume, right?
Well, science is not always as everyone thinks. It kind of works with funding and grants. And I was doing a PhD, so I had a grant for a few years, but it's not always guaranteed. But it's always seen much more stable than an artistic career, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Because, like, the author world, I mean, within my experience of being an author and writer, you know, I said to myself, look, that this is not guaranteed. You're not guaranteed to be, you know, a famous writer or anything like that, because it takes a lot of work, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, absolutely. And especially if you're doing it on the side, it can really take all your weekends or your holidays or your, you know, nights after work and everything. And if you're doing it, even if you're doing it full time, like I am doing at the moment, because I quit my job recently, there's no guarantee that you're going to get any revenue, that you're going to get any readers. So it's always a uphill battle, really.
Absolutely, I can imagine. I mean, if you don't mind me asking, I mean, how are you supporting yourself right now within you know, putting food on the table? Is that you know, some sort of struggle?
Yes, it is. But I've made a plan in the past, I would say 1-2 years, because I knew that I was going to quit my job in 2019. That was my goal. I really wanted to give it a shot for this business. So what I did, the first step I did was to save a lot of money. I was really lucky because I had a really high paying job and I could work on the side to kind of prepare everything, get the website ready, get the book written, etc. And then when I was ready to kind of having the tipping point where I really needed to work on it 24/7, I had enough savings to hold a few months, and now I'm starting to make money out of the business, which is really exciting.
That's good.
So yeah, it was kind of a strategy and it was a bet, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but I'm really confident it's gonna work.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the way I see it is that, you know, life doesn't come with a guarantee, life comes with a gamble. That's what I say.
Totally, absolutely. You can't be sure of anything. Even if you have a job, you might not have it tomorrow, so you might as well do something that you are really passionate about.
Absolutely. So would you say that you came well prepared before quitting your job, or would you say that you just quit your job and then started preparing?
No, I was really, really coming prepared. It's actually really the subject of my book, The Part-Time Artist, where I explain everything that I have done to come to that point where I was ready to quit my job. There's been years in the making of reading about how to, you know, write a book, how to publish, self-publish, all these kind of things, and all about the business too. So it was I had a business plan. I was really doing it consciously, and really quitting the job was more incidental. Is that I really needed the time to do everything that I needed to do.
Absolutely, because as well as that, I can relate to this because me and my partner started up a company and we registered it legally. We was actually a binding company. And what was the most frightening thing was the fact that we were saying to ourselves, okay, we are now self-employed. This is where we need to start getting the money, because if we don't get the money, then we are going to be literally skint. That's quite scary, isn't it?
It is very scary. I think that's something that still keeps me awake every night. And that's something you kind of have to keep in mind. But also, you can't let it paralyze you. And that is the most difficult part, I think, about being an entrepreneur and trying to get something going, because you have the fears, all the fears that are associated with putting a project out there. And it's compounded by the fact that you have to sell things. You have to make money out of it. So it's even more scary. But then at the same time, if you let the fear completely paralyze you, you're not never going to get the business done. You're going to stop before things get interesting because you're so scared. So it's really a balance to get as an entrepreneur, the same way you have a balance where you have a day job and your artistic career on the side.
Yeah, I mean, I never really thought of it like that. You know, the way you explained it is absolutely, you know, pure gold, you know, because that's exactly what me and my partner were saying to each other, is that we are really, really scared right now, because we're used to a different life. We're not used to being the type of people that are self-employed. You know, but again, like when you mentioned fear, I mean, fear is what keeps us going, right?
Yeah, it's nice to have a good kick because you have to do something, otherwise you are not going to get money. But where the problem is when the fear gets too much. So it is a very difficult thing. And I think if you have listeners who are thinking about getting their own business right now, they need to know that this is going to be a thing. And that's why it's really nice to have, if you can, have some savings for a few months. So you kind of can treat it as a test and see, okay, I have that. I'm not so stressed that I have to make money right now, and I can experiment and do different things. It kind of helps alleviate the stress a little bit.
That is true. No, that is where I went wrong. You know, speaking of having that, you know, having that bit of cash that is going to say, for instance, that if you're going to start business, make sure you've got enough cash to, you know, last you for this amount of time and, you know, go from there, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can do that, or you can do, I have also some freelance work going on. It brings a little bit of money. I have some casual work going on too, with what I was doing in my previous job in theater. So you kind of have different possibilities. It's not, you don't need to have a big cushion of cash if you can't really have that. It's just that if you don't have that, then you have to be prepared to maybe spend a little bit more time working on the money side and a bit less time working on the creative side.
Did you know Ask Me UK help hundreds of thousands of people with their expert advice and support? Ask Me UK funded world-class asthma research to better asthma treatment. Ask Me UK campaigned to improve the quality of care received by people with asthma. Let's stop unfair asthma by donating today at www.wayneclark.online. Let's all make a difference by donating to Ask Me UK today. Yeah, absolutely. If you don't mind me going back to when you said that you was a scientist, what made you get into that specific career?
Well, I don't know how it is in the UK, but in Belgium, you kind of choose what you want to do for the rest of your life when you are like 17, 18, which is a very young age. And in Belgium, you don't really have such a big example of succeeding in an artistic career. It's more seen as a hobby. So when I was a teenager, I really, really wanted to write, but I always had these voices, and it was my family, my parents, you know, even the teachers telling me, well, being an artist is not going to pay the bills. So you have to do something else that is going to be a real career. You know, you have the real career and then the hobby. And I was good at science. So I thought, why not trying to study that? And I kind of enjoyed it when I was there. It was not completely fulfilling my, you know, what I wanted to do, but I was enjoying it and I was good at it. I enjoyed, you know, working on a crazy experiment in the South Pole, which is where, you know, the experiment I was working on was. So it was pretty cool. But after a couple of years doing my PhD, I really realized that it was not what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. I mean, I've done like quite a lot of things in my time, and yeah, I used to be a singer-songwriter. Yep, that's not something I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So yeah, I can totally relate to that. So, you know, getting down to the books that you write and, you know, the other things that you do as well, would you say that this is a business that is all in one? Would you say that they all bounce off each other?
Yes, at the moment, the business, the part-time artist, it's going to be one project that has different things in it. So the first part of the project was to get the book out, which is self-help book for artists who really want just to find a good balance and be happy with what they're doing, no matter what their situation is. But there's other parts too. I'm actually starting a podcast in a few weeks. So interesting. Not competition, absolutely not. I think there's more than enough time for people to listen to both. Yeah. But I'm also starting a course, hopefully beginning of May. That's kind of my target at the moment. That is going to be much more detailed and coaching people to go from doing art as a hobby to doing it as a livelihood. So really to make a living from their art the same way I've done the transition, the transformation that I've done. So that's really the project. And then I have a million other ideas after that. So yeah, we'll probably have a lot of more things by the end of the year already.
Yeah, so two things that I wanted to say that you was going on about. You got so many ideas. Do you ever keep an ideas journal?
I use Scrivener, which I think a lot of writers are using, to kind of keep track of the ideas that I have. Yeah. And to kind of organize them between the different things. I write also fiction, so I also have a folder with fiction ideas and things like that. So that's what I do. I use kind of a structure in Scrivener to do it.
Wow, incredible. So talking about competition, would you find that your business that you are starting up, would you find like any other competitions out there?
I think there are stuff that are similar to what I'm doing, but not necessarily exactly the same. So I would say it's not necessarily competition, because when you think about all the thing that you yourself have, you know, read or listened to and everything, you kind of consume everything on that subject. So if there is something else that is helping them, that's great. If my thing can help them too, that's also great. So I try not to see it as a competition, because I think it's really a negative and time consuming emotion. I'd rather see it as, if they find something that helped them with someone else, that's great. If they find something that helps them with me, that's great too.
Wow, That's awesome. So your book that you've got out, how many books did you say you've got out again?
That's my first book, okay. The Part-Time Artist. That's my first book officially published. It was published on the 9th of March. And that's really the start of the project. So that was the thing that I wanted to get out so that people can read my story, read all the stuff that I've gone through since I've quit my career in science, and wow, see all the strategies I've implemented to be able to have a career even though I had a full-time job.
Wow. So is that like a biography?
It is. Kind of halfway between a biography and self-help, so strategies to help you. So I didn't want to do just a biography because, frankly, who cares about what I've done in my life? I wanted to do it in a way to illustrate what has worked for me, what hasn't worked for me, and hopefully it helps other people.
Yeah, but it's a matter of inspiring other people, really, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Wow, that's incredible. So you've obviously done a lot in your life. So when is the actual chill time that you get? Do you get any chill time?
I am trying to get better at that because I'm the kind of person, I always have to do something. I can't relax. If you send me 1 week on a beach, I am going to be so bored. It's crazy. I'm going to start writing a story or something, but I'm still trying to learn. That is actually part of my work in progress, the kind of thing I'm trying to be better at, to really learn to have downtime, to relax, to gather myself, because that's also when you get your best ideas, is when you're not so burned out by everything that you're doing. So yeah, it's a work in progress.
Wow, that's incredible. So are you do you have a Facebook page that people go to?
I have a Facebook page. If you search my name, Céline Terranova, you will find it. I am also very active on Twitter, Céline Terranova again. It's all under my name. Instagram, it's kind of everywhere the same. And also, if you search The Part-Time Artist, you'll find me too.
That's cool. We'll have external links to that as well, so mm-hmm. I won't worry about that. So yeah, you know, you've been absolutely incredible, and I really do appreciate you coming onto this show.
I am so happy to have been on this show. It's great to talk to you about what I'm doing and to hear, you know, feedback too from another author.
Absolutely. So what advice would you give someone that is wanting to start a business? Because that's the crucial part, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think start with a business plan. In my book, I give a formula that is super easy, because when people think about business plan, immediately you have the overwhelming, like, oh my god, this is going to be so complicated, it's going to be businessy, don't understand it. Now what I do is starting with four questions. First question is what is it that you are going to sell or to give as a service, etc. Second question is why are you doing that? Why are you doing it now? Why are you so passionate about this? Third one is who are going to be your customers, your ideal customer, the person who's going to really benefit from what you're doing, and also who are you? Why are you the best person to offer that service or product? And then the last question is how are you going to get paid, and how much are you going to get paid? How are you going to price this? If you start with that, it's very, very simple. You can do that on an A4 page and just write down your ideas. You're going to have an idea of how your business is going to go, and everything is going to go from there. And then you can do a strategy, you can do a timeline, you can do, you know, when are you going to do this, when are you going to get your first product out, when are you going to get your website, when are you going to quit your job. All these kind of things are coming from these questions.
Absolutely. Wow, I'm definitely going to get your book, to be honest.
I'm really glad.
No, that's quite interesting.
It helps.
Yeah, it's not as, because I've seen so many business plans, and I've got to admit, when I look at them, I'm thinking, oh my god, you know what?
I know it's so, it just is made to kind of, if I feel, it's to discourage you from doing it, because yeah, it looks so complicated. A business plan doesn't have to be complicated, especially if you are working for yourself, if you don't have a big company, it's just if you're trying to sell your art, for example. It just needs to just start with these simple questions, and then you can go more complicated. But you know, if you try with something too complicated to start with, chances are you're not going to start, period.
Absolutely. Again, thank you ever so much for coming onto this show, and I'll catch up with you after the show. Thank you ever so much,
thank
Celine.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are on air. It's Talk About Friday.